A new poll shows 70% of the British people think the UK's mission in Afghanistan was not worthwhile. The results of the survey came as the 13-year British combat operation ends and the troops come home. You might remember the Brits' hard-fought battles in Helmand Province in particular. They left their base, Camp Bastion, formally on Sunday. 453 members of the British military were killed during the war, and one of them was Jack Sadler. He was killed in 2007. His vehicle was blown up by an improvised explosive device. His father is Ian Sadler, and he now works with a military family support group in Britain, a group that helps families after they lose a loved one. And he joins us from his home in Exmouth, England. Mr. Sadler, Ian, you know, it's been 7 years. It must still be fresh, so we are sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
And I'm wondering if it's, you know, if your feelings are made, you know, exacerbated by this poll, people saying that the mission wasn't worth it.
I'm one of the people that is saying that.
Yeah.
So, and I've been saying that for the last 7 years after Jack was killed. I'm an ex-serviceman myself, and I was running an army surplus shop, and I had a lot of soldiers returning from the front giving me first-hand accounts of what's been going on out there. So I went to our Secretary of State for Defence, who was then a Mr. Des Brown at the Ministry of Defence, and I put 24 questions to him. I wasn't very pleased with the responses I got. There were serious shortcomings. Up until around about 2010, we didn't have any effective MRAP vehicles. There were so many things, so many complaints that I had. Our SA-80 rifle, 5.56 millimeter round. It was only really effective up to 300 meters, and yet we were being attacked by the Taliban with old Russian AK-47s, 7.62 rounds, and they were shooting at us from 600 meters. So, you know, little things like that.
You echo the voices of parents here in the U.S. who felt the same way, that their children were not prepared to go to war. They didn't have the right equipment, didn't have the MRAPs, the protected vehicles.
Your families in America, they made a fuss, and they got the Humvees up armoured. And a friend of mine, Tony Phillipson, whose son, 23-year-old son, was killed in Afghanistan, he was always going on about, we need up armoured Humvees. Mm. Well, when they armoured the Humvees, they were putting armour plate in between an explosive device, like a Russian anti-tank mine, TM-46 anti-tank mine, 8.5 kilograms of high explosive. It detonates at 8,000 meters per second. So the armor in between the soldiers in the Humvee and the explosion were being killed by the bits of the Humvee that were coming through the vehicle.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, the Hart family was one of the families that fought for the better armored vehicles, and we've spoken to them a lot. But look, devil's advocate, there are people who say that the goal was to stabilize Afghanistan so it wouldn't be a home for people like Osama bin Laden. They have had elections in Afghanistan. Young women like Malala Yousafzai have been inspired to, you know, demand their rights. And here's Britain's Defense Secretary Michael Fallon. He was on the BBC this weekend saying that Afghanistan in 2014 is a much better place because of the mission that your son was in. Let's listen.
We're not saying this morning that the Taliban have been defeated. Far from it. There is still insurgency there. But what we are saying is we are leaving a legacy of a more prosperous Afghanistan, one with a democratic government and with its own security force that has a much better chance now of providing safety and prosperity for its people.
Ian Sadler, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, that's amazing. Do you remember Mr. Goebbels, who worked for Mr. Adolf Hitler?
Mm. He was his PR machine, yeah.
He was his PR machine. He was his propaganda machine. What we're getting out of the Ministry of Defence and Mr. Fallon at the moment is quite a lot of what we call in London, tosh. Now, he's mentioning 300,000-strong army and police force, the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Police. Now, these people, they're not American US Marines. These 300,000-strong army and police. They're not like our British Army Brigade of Guards. They're an irregular bunch who can't find work, and they're being paid by both our governments two actors, mercenaries, really.
Yeah. Well, Ian Sadler, you obviously don't want the war in Afghanistan to be your son's legacy. What do you want?
I'm hoping that my son's legacy is that people will listen to what's actually happened and not the propaganda that comes out the mouths of numerous defense secretaries at the Ministry of Defense or prime ministers, that we learn by the genuine mistakes so we don't make the same mistakes again. This may be of interest to some of your people that have lost loved ones in Afghanistan and Iraq. Under the Geneva Convention, a minefield has to be marked and it has to have a small fence around it. This might sound ridiculous to anybody, but this is rules of war, the codes of war. Now, with terrorists, they don't mark a minefield. They don't mark where a mine is. In fact, they don't want you to know where a mine is. So that's why you have an disproportionate number of mine strikes in a non-conventional war. In fact, South Africa, who carried on with the MRAP series of vehicles, in fact, the Cougar, the American Cougar that you use, was developed using South African technology. Global Armour is a firm in South Africa that makes these vehicles. The South Africans, in their war against the apartheid and in their war in Angola, lost more people, personnel and vehicles to mine strikes than all the Allied forces in the Second World War.
It sounds like what you're saying is if you're going to send someone's children to war, you better be prepared.
It's criminal to send young men off to fight an enemy when you know they are ill-equipped. These things need to be aired because while I am an individual, people like Fallon, or we've had loads of secretaries of defense, they keep changing them because they're not doing a very good job, quite honestly. They have all the machinery of state to put their message across. And people like me are just one straw in a field of lies. We find it very difficult to get the truth put across. And if we're going to be successful in wars, and let's face it, the next war may not be against a third world country using second-hand kit from places like Russia and China. We might actually be fighting grade A opponents. And we certainly don't want to approach a proper war in the same kind of manner. The United States and Great Britain are not only allies. We're related. We're blood relatives.
That's Ian Sadler. His son Jack killed in Afghanistan in 2007. He now, Ian, works with the Military Family Support Group in Britain as Britain ends its involvement in Afghanistan. Ian, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Robin. And one day I hope to come to America and see what a great country it is.
We would welcome you. Thank you.